Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Very special guest, moving up from the C squad to the B squad for this one. Audrey Snyder from The Athletic joins us now to talk Penn State, Michigan, and really just talk about the state of affairs with this Penn State program. Audrey, welcome and congratulations, first of all.
You know, I was told I was an A-lister, Dustin, so you guys must have just lost my number, but hey, happy to be here.
That must have been it. Or Greg Pickle sabotaged your number. Either way, you're here.
Let's go with the latter.
We're talking Penn State, Michigan, 42-7. You got a couple days now to process that. What are you thinking about now from Penn State's vantage point? Is the world on fire?
Well, I mean, I do think there are definitely some flames here. We got some sparks going, some flames. It's never as good as it seems when they win. It's never as bad as it seems when they lose. But the thing that I think is really stands out in this one, Dustin, it's something I wrote about today on The Athletic in my takeaways piece, is I don't understand, and I'm sure many of the Penn State fans are in the same boat here, the back and forth with putting McSorley in, taking him out, putting Stevens in, pulling him out after the interception, and then you're trailing 35-0 with nine minutes and change left, and you put Trace McSorley, who's visibly injured, who was in the injury tent, who you could see warming up, wasn't himself, you put him back in the game. To me, that is really interesting. This goes back to James Franklin's coaching philosophy that we've seen it before with Christian Hackenberg pounded to the ground at Temple. I don't get why you do that. And Franklin's response, of course, is, you know, you want to compete in every game, and it's hard to take Trace McSorley out of a game. But you're the coach. I mean, that's your job to make those kinds of decisions. And I just felt that was really reckless. I mean, they could still be in Michigan for another month, Dustin, and I didn't see anything that would indicate they were going to score 35-plus points in 9 minutes.
Yeah, and so what struck me about that is going back to Iowa, where it seemed like the picture was painted for me anyway, that Trace was just determining when he was ready. And this was not the coaching staff telling Trace or whatever, but it seemed like maybe another situation where they were deferring to Trace. And certainly you can make the case to me, you know, like he deserves that or whatever. But at some point in time, it seemed like they were trying to arrive at a decision without making a decision on that. And I didn't really get it either.
Yeah, it was confusing. And I think it's, you know, I understand the whole Trace has earned the right against Iowa. I totally get it. That was a close game. This game was a blowout. Even when Penn State was down 14-0, I didn't see anything that suggested that they were going to come back. You see Tommy Stevens in there, he gets a nice run, then he throws that pick six, and then to me it's just, now you're second-guessing Tommy because you're telling him that he can't throw an interception. I mean, why not use those last 9 minutes as a chance to develop him for next year? I mean, the game, the outcome was already sealed, which they will never say that, they will never admit that, but everyone watching that could tell that. So I thought that was really, really peculiar. And hey, here we are again, Dustin.
Yeah, here we are again. So now we're at Penn State at 6-3. They've got a 6-3 Wisconsin team coming up at Beaver Stadium, and the realization that one of these two teams is going to be 6-4 after the way, you know, the fanfare and the expectations and all that. Mm-hmm. You know, like I thought Wisconsin had a legitimate shot at playing in the college football playoff. Penn State kind of is in that conversation no matter what, just because of what they accomplished in 2016 and 2017. But now you're looking at one of these teams is going to just be, you know, just, you know, barely jumping into bowl consideration. That's it's wild to me.
Yeah, and I think the noon kick really speaks to that, Dustin. I mean, yeah. This is a game that before this season, I totally agree with you. I thought Wisconsin would be pushing for a college football playoff spot. I thought Penn State would be around a 10-2 team, with potentially one of those losses at that time coming to Wisconsin. So you look at it now, and it's a noon kick. And, really both of these two teams have just fallen, you know, kind of off the face of the earth in some regards. And I wrote about this today on The Athletic. But, Dustin, I'll pose the question to you. What is Penn State's best win this season? I don't know. I mean, now that they've lost these three key games again within your division, I don't know what their best win would be this year. Potentially Wisconsin if they beat them.
Yeah.
Maybe Iowa. Is it App State? I don't know.
I think you can make a you can contend at Pitt. Winning on the road 51-6, the way that Pitt is playing now, it's a different Pitt team, but on paper, that by season's end, I think the Pitt game will be, end up being their best win, especially given the margin.
Yeah, given the style points there, which Penn State was on the flip side of that against Michigan, yeah, getting the score run up a little bit.
So, what are you thinking about in terms of from a fan's perspective, just the long-term outlook? Because that's one of the things that I think has been more jarring to a lot of people is, and maybe this happens to every really good team that hits a rough patch, because they all do. Michigan was a good example last year. That makes you wonder or question about the long-term outlook for James Franklin, for this program, fair or unfair. I think those questions are being asked. Like, is this really the guy? Is this really the setup to take Penn State into the future?
You know, I think I always think of it in terms of the NFL, where you have the window of opportunity, right? And maybe you go out in free agency and you bring in some key guys to make a run. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. For Penn State, that window of opportunity is contingent upon recruiting well, which they've done at an extremely high level. It's about developing talent, which we've seen it with the guys that they churned out last year. But I definitely think there are a lot of other questions in terms of assistance. I mean, you look at it, is it just a coincidence that the special teams have struggled this year and that they have a new coach? Is it also a coincidence that the wide receivers have regressed and they've also had a new position coach? I don't know. I think you watch this team, I mean, burning a timeout on 4th-and-24 with a punt after their first drive, you could see James Franklin was livid on the sidelines. Penn State's offense, you know, coming on the field for their second or third possession, getting a delay a game penalty, coming out on the field. Like, that's just, to me, that's stuff that at this point is inexcusable. We've seen questions about the clock management come up time and time again. And that's where I kind of wonder about the management aspect of this program. And I think you have to. I think James Franklin has done a great job of surrounding himself with really great people. We saw that with Joe Moorhead. But now you wonder, you see this offense with Ricky Ronnie, and it's not the same. And I get it. They lost a bunch of key pieces. This offense wasn't going to look the same. But I also, going back to that window of opportunity, I think that window is certainly closing. You had a guy like Saquon Barkley, you couldn't get over the hump. You have a guy like Trace McSorley, you couldn't get over the hump into the college football playoff. I mean, we really do not know what this team is going to get in Tommy Stevens. And I love when fans say, oh, yeah, he's going to be better, he's going to be worse. We don't know that. I mean, we've seen the guy in so few opportunities that it's just speculative at this point.
Yeah, and here's what else I would say, Audrey. I've made this – so in the Big Ten East – mm-hmm. Only Ohio State has proven that it can be vulnerable to the inevitable ups and downs. And it's because, you know, there's 3, 4, 5 programs nationally. And can you even say that about Ohio State the way things are going right now for them? It's another question. But, you know, 2 years ago, you had Michigan State. They didn't have all their ducks in a row. They didn't have the right pieces, whatever you want to call it. They're 3-9. Last year, Michigan didn't have all the right ingredients, and they're 8-5. I just think that there's an inevitability that there's going to be one or two of these four powerhouses in the Big Ten East that's going to walk away disappointed, because it's a pretty rugged path that they've got to walk to really be, you know, get to double-digit wins, let alone be in the college football playoff conversation. And this just seems like Penn State's year to do it. I know that there are broader things, there are red flags that go beyond just the 6-3 record or whatever. But this is Penn State's ingredients. We knew that they weren't really all there, right? I mean, hindsight's 20/20, yeah. But we knew defensive tackle was an issue. We knew linebacker was an issue. We knew the playmakers could be an issue. I didn't see what's happened. I didn't see that coming. But, you know, none of this should be a huge surprise. Let's put it that way.
Yes and no. I agree with you that we knew this team was going to have some flaws, but I didn't expect the receiving core would look the way it has. I mean, that group's gone backwards. We've seen Trace McSorley for stretches at a time trying to do too much just because there isn't enough around him. To the defense's credit, I think the defense has been playing better than we probably could have imagined preseason. I mean, you know, yes, you look at what happened Saturday, but they held as long as they could to give this offense a chance to try and do something, and they just couldn't. So I think it goes back to Dustin, who is that bona fide playmaker on the defense? And James Franklin, you know, he calls it an eraser. I don't think they have that. I think we went into this season saying, okay, you know, who's that guy? Maybe somebody emerges. And Nick Scott's made some big plays. Etor Gross Matos has made some good plays. Sharif Miller now and again. But there isn't that one guy that can wreck a game, that can take over a game, a Rashawn Gary type of guy.
And I think the hope was to try to find that guy this year. Not the impact games this year, but the you knew that there was a bunch of guys who were going to play a lot of meaningful snaps that just weren't going to be ready to make a huge impact. Guys like Micah Parsons, PJ Mustipher. You know, the hope, I think, coming out of the year was to figure out, do I have any racer? I think maybe you could in 2019 or 2020, one or two of these guys could be.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think you've seen the flashes of it. I mean, they know what they have in Micah Parsons. They love what they have down the road in Micah Parsons, but there were going to be some growing pains with this team, and I think it's maybe been taken a little bit for granted, just some of the players that Penn State lost. And, I mean, go to the other side of the ball. Losing to Deshaun Hamilton for this team was huge. And you look at now their struggles as an offense on third down. The numbers are brutal. That speaks to the inconsistencies that they have. You look at how many plays the defense has been on the field. That speaks to an offense that hasn't moved the ball a whole heck of a lot, and a defense that doesn't have that big time playmaker to get off the field. So I just think, Justin, this was kind of the perfect storm in a sense of you've gotten key guys injured. You've gotten position groups that have taken a step backwards, and then you've got a really tough conference that you're playing in. And hey, I mean, if they can finish, be a 9-win team, get into the Citrus Bowl, Outback Bowl, something like that, I mean, that's still not a terrible year for this team. But I just think fans maybe have been a little bit spoiled after what's transpired here the last 2 years.
Yeah, I think spoiled is a good way to put it. I think it happens to all fans. We got about 30 seconds. How do you think this Wisconsin game is going to go? Because it's the same dilemma trying to get off the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. A team that controls the clock. Which Penn State hasn't shown me in these types of games against Michigan State, against Michigan, that they're able to do that. So I think it could be a tough day for them. But again, this Wisconsin team has a lot of flaws too. So it's really, I feel like for different reasons, we're looking at two teams that are at this weird crossroads. And I'm curious to see how it goes, Dustin, because as we've seen with this team this year, we never really know what team's going to show up and how they're going to look week to week, series to series, quarter to quarter.
Penn State still somehow an 8.5-point favorite to start the week against Wisconsin. Wisconsin number 4, rushing offense in the country, top 15 in time of possession. Penn State's going to have to do something to shake out of that recent trend of not being able to get off the field. That's Audrey Snyder from The Athletic joining us here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're moving on. We're looking around the college football playoff picture in just a moment. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.